Hey, tune in to All in One Sports with Jimmy and Ricky. We'll give you all the hockey news you need to have, and they're really passionate about their teams.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to All in One Sports. I'm your host, Jim Berenger, alongside Ricky O. We are back again, Jimmy and Ricky, back together again here on All in One Sports. It's been a while. It's been a week, a little more. There's a lot to get to. A lot of NHL news, a lot of Major League Baseball news, SummerSlam's this weekend, but we got a SummerSlam preview show later on in the week, so you're not going to want to miss that out. Guys, if you haven't checked it out, we have All in One Sports up on Spotify and iTunes now. All the previous episodes that you've seen on Facebook, if you haven't checked out the episodes, we'll link it in the group, link it on the Facebook page. We are going strong here at All in One Sports, covering it all for you. Ricky, good to be back, brother.
Good to be back. And Jimmy, thank you for all the hard work getting us up on Spotify and some other outlets. And, you know, for you guys that don't know, Jimmy does about 173 shows a night. And you can keep up with everything. Jimmy knows when a guy changes his helmet. He knows when his mouth guard's a different color. I break his chops a lot, but this guy is one of the hardest working guys out there. So make sure you download us. Make sure you're following the Facebook page, All in One Sports. You're following Jimmy on Twitter. Catch us on Twitter. And thank you for joining us. And the chat's open, guys. If you got any questions or comments, we're live on Facebook, on Twitter. And we do have a lot to talk about. We're going to save SummerSlam for Thursday. That was Jimmy's idea. I'm all pumped up about SummerSlam. I got a lot to talk about with wrestling, and it's all WWE, of course. But let's start off real fast with we didn't really get a chance to talk about Saquon Barkley and the Giants. We'll touch on the Giants real quick because I think there's a domino effect that happened here. Saquon Barkley refused to franchise tag. He said he wasn't going to play. He was going to sit out. The Giants signs into a pretty reasonable bonus incentive deal. But we got Taylor down here in Indianapolis now who's just threatening to sit out. And he has to play six games this year in order to be eligible for next year to be able to sit out and declare himself a free agent. He doesn't have the minimum games met. It's an interesting situation because Indy can bring him in and bench him, and he never gets to those six games. And it's a very, very touchy subject. And, you know, Indianapolis is turning into a tire fire. I don't know what's going on down there, but the NFL itself is getting very greedy again. What do you think, Jim?
Look, I'll say this with Saquon Barkley. I personally thought the Giants should have taken care of Barkley first before they took care of Daniel Jones. I know Jones gets the big payday, and a quarterback position is different than the running back position. But when you have a franchise running back like that, and I'm not sure if Daniel Jones is a franchise quarterback, but he got paid like one, but it's a reasonable contract. He did get paid well. But it's only a four-year deal, so it's not like it really hurts the Giants. It's not like this long-term stuff. But now Daniel Jones got to put up or shut up now. Now it can't just be about him running the football, Barkley running the football. And look, the Giants want it because they can franchise tag him two more times. And, you know, we'll see. Again, this is similar to a tactic we've seen in the NHL with team elected arbitration or one-year deals, bridge deals. It just gives the team a little bit longer of a runway before. And, you know, for me, I think the Giants will get something done with Barkley. And I think this is a prove-it deal, too, for Barkley, too, because he needs to put up the same numbers that he did last year.
Yes, Jones got to do the same thing. He's coming off a major injury, you know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, he's had two good seasons, his rookie year and last year, and there was a lot of injuries in between. And for me, you know, you look at it, it's a tough division. Expectations are higher on the Giants. They got a tougher schedule. And teams know what they have to do. They stop the run. Now you got to put Daniel Jones – you got to be through the air. As far as Taylor goes, he shouldn't be sitting out the season. He shouldn't be doing that. I know he wants to get paid, but again, you know.
And there's not much of a market with trades with running backs. It's not like he's going to get them a haul. You know, it's that lifespan is this big, and the trade value is just not there.
No, was it 3-4 years max, if that, on a top running back? And look, I don't know how long Taylor's been in the league, but how many games he's actually played, but he's got to be worried about his pension if he's talking about sitting out games now, too, because you have to play a minimum amount of games in the NFL to get a full buyer. So you have to worry about that going through, too.
And sitting out, how'd that work for Le'Veon Bell? That ruined his career. He was never
Didn't work out. Didn't work out. No, he even admitted it. He said that's not the one thing he wishes he goes back. He wished he didn't sit out. And you and I both said Barkley wasn't going to sit out. I mean, that's just not his nature. That's not who he is. And look, Dalvin Cook's the big superstar right now because I think once we see where Cook goes, I think
where then, are we seeing Jimmy? Where are we seeing? He's going to be in the Meadowlands playing right next to
Chicago. Yeah, he's going to be in the Jets. He's going to be with the Jets. He's not going anywhere else. Maybe the Dolphins, maybe. But I think he goes to the Jets.
Interesting point. Who would have thought 2 years ago the Jets and the Dolphins are bidding for a top running back who could actually put them in the Super Bowl?
Right?
This is how fast football can turn around. And now let's get to Aaron Rodgers real quick. I mean, for everything negative said about this guy, that he's a little kooky, he's stuck up, he's arrogant, he's a little bit of a prick. Man, giving back $35 million is no joke. I mean,
no, he wants to win.
He wants to shove it right up Green Bay's butt and say, hey, I was the man. And I'll tell you, if they get Cook, they stay healthy with that offense, they could still add another piece to the line or whatever with that money they gave back.
And they got a good defense.
The Jets are right now, I think, legitimately a tier behind. You got to remember that side of the world has got such great teams like Buffalo and Kansas City.
Miami.
Cincinnati, we're forgetting.
Yeah, Cincinnati. San Diego's up there too. Herbert got paid.
San Francisco.
Well, San Fran's on the NFC side.
I'm sorry, you're right. My bad, you're right. It's just what a world of football in the AFC
The
right
best
now.
Quarterbacks right now in the AFC, hands down, are the best quarterbacks. You have Burrow, you got Lamar Jackson, you got Josh Allen, Tua, Herbert, Mahomes, Russell Wilson. Like, I mean, it's just – and look out when Kenny Pickett starts getting it going for Pittsburgh, man. Look out for Deshaun Watson, Anthony Richardson,
the Colts. I mean, he's got all the tools in the world. If they could put a team around him, he's going to be very good.
Yeah, and look, you know, the Jets. Yeah, it's crazy to think the Jets and Dolphins are bidding for players. And a lot of it wasn't a big hot destination, but look, that division is loaded. I think the Jets have a legitimate chance to make a wild card this year with Rodgers, and they add Dalvin Cook. You know, this team is still going to run to do some business there. And think about it. Look at your position. We talk about the running back position. This is, I would say, maybe one or two more years, Derrick Henry, and that's it in Tennessee for him.
I think honestly, Jim, Tennessee rebuilds after this year, and Henry's gone.
Yeah.
This is the last hurrah for him here. I think they let him walk or they deal him. But there's nothing left here. I mean, they're going to transition from Tannehill, who's is a B quarterback. He's not an A plus, a B plus. He's a B quarterback. They don't have much. They're blowing DeAndre Hopkins down here. Every radio station is DeAndre. Guys, he's 5 years past his prime.
He really is.
He's coming off a steroid suspension. He's not healthy. I mean, okay, he had one not healthy year, but it was after the steroids, which is a concern because people know you break down, your body breaks down after you're off that stuff.
Yeah.
He is not the answer to this. He's not Jamar Chase, you know?
No.
So I think you can actually just – I think I'm going to say – we're going to do our NFL picks in 2 weeks where we're going to sit down and do each conference and we're gonna put our picks out. But I'm going to come out a little early and I'm going to say Tennessee is lucky to win 6 games this year. They're the ones in the AFC right now that are going to drop. It's going to be the Colts and the Titans battling for last place. I think the Jaguars win that division, but we'll go over that in a couple of weeks. But – I think Aaron Rodgers, what he did was made the Jets a Super Bowl contender. I think the Jets, Buffalo, and Miami, the only problem with that is they're going to beat each other up coming out of that division, and one of them's got to stay healthy.
Yes, I agree. But the thing is, you see what Rodgers, he's bought in, right? Everybody was wondering if he was going to buy in, what it was going to be like. The Jets have said he's going to be the man, but the fact that he's sticking up for his coordinator, he's sticking up for Hackett, he's saying, don't talk about my coaches like that. Especially with Sean Payton coming out, doing what he's doing over in Denver.
What is up with that, Jimmy? Explain that to me. What is he thinking?
I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know why you would be saying it. It's like one of those unwritten things. He's saying, look, you can think it all you want. You could say it in your room all you want. You don't say that stuff to the media. Like, you don't just denigrate a previous guy that was there. I know he didn't have a great year. I know it was, you know. But it all wasn't Nathaniel Hackett in Denver. Russell Wilson has to take blame for what happened in Denver last year, too.
Right. But I got to say this. Hackett's lucky to still be in the NFL afterwards.
Right.
You know, Jeremy Pruitt got hired as a janitor today somewhere as a college, you know, after his college football. I mean, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. He got hired as a gym teacher. But you mess up that bad in the NFL, you're lucky to get back. you know, but this goes back to what we say in all sports, hockey, baseball, football. It's the old man's club. Once you're in, you never leave.
Yeah, but Hackett, has a relationship with Rodgers. Hackett was in Green Bay with him and Lazar. So there was a connection there, and I think that's why they brought him into New York, because they knew they were going to go after Rodgers. And Rodgers is bought all in with the Jets, and that's something you like to see.
All in sports.
That's it.
Let's transition. Today was the MLB baseball trade deadline, which really means nothing because they still have the waivers, trades, and everything that go on for another 2 weeks.
It doesn't mean nothing.
But I want to talk about the New York Mets. I know you're a Yankee fan. I'm a Met fan. Oh, first of all, real quick, did the Yankees do anything today? I worked a lot of hours today. I just got home, didn't really catch up on everything.
They didn't do what they should have done today, which was sell, and they didn't sell. They got a relief pitcher, a couple of relief pitchers. That was it. That's all they did. And Brian Cashman.
Cashman's getting fired.
Dude, Cashman needs to go. Aaron Boone needs to go. They're talking about, oh, well, this guy comes back, this guy comes. Dude, these guys are coming back and the team still loses. Look, Aaron Judge came back on Saturday. Team wins. And then they bench him. They keep him out of lineup on Sunday and lose. Like this team is awful. They're awful, awful, awful. And they're settling for mediocrity. And they don't spend the money like they're supposed to. They don't have a balanced lineup. It's all about hitting home runs, not playing small ball, no pitching. They're just not good. And that's a criticism of what Brian Cashman has done over the last several years, ever since the Yankees last won a world championship. They should have rebuilt. They should have gotten rid of him a long time ago. You know, if George was still alive, Cashman and Boone would have been both gone after last year. And if this team makes the playoffs, they're not going to address the problem. They're just going to kick the can down the road again. The best thing for the New York Yankees would be for them to miss the playoffs.
They got a pitcher named Spencer Howard from Texas. His lifetime ERA is 7.20, and he's pitching 115 innings.
Awful.
That was their trade deadline move.
Awful. Awful.
Wow.
Look, Brian Cashman is on the back end of his career like Lou Lamoriello is on the back end of his career.
Oh, my God.
You thought the Mets were bad. No, no.
Well, listen, I'm going to say this right now. Nobody's more disappointed in the Mets season than me. I had high hopes. This owner,
a lot of people had high hopes.
He prints his own money, this guy. But the problem is that he built a fantasy team for, MLB 2023 on PlayStation, which I finally bought one. I got one for the first time in 20 years. I got a PlayStation. So you might not see me anymore. I've been playing Madden all day. I suck. But anyway, he built this fantasy team with Scherzer and Verlander, but he never really addressed the fact that we never had a left fielder. Nemo sucks. I don't know. People say are so high on Nemo. I don't like him at all. He's so inconsistent at the plate. He'll go through 5 games where you can't make an out with the guy, and then he goes 20 games where he can't get on base. He's a horrible base runner. He's an average center fielder. We never had a right fielder. Our third base situation was horrible, and then we brought Beatty up, and he's just not ready right now, but mm-mm. They pushed him into the majors. McNeil hasn't hit all season. Lindor has been awful at shortstop. He's the next one who's got to go. And then Alonso got hurt, and he's got 30-something home runs, but he's hitting .202. I mean, he's Dave Kingman. He's become the modern-day Dave Kingman.
Yeah.
So this team was just built horribly. You got 40-something-year-old starting pitching. You got 40-something-year-old relievers. The fucking closer gets hurt jumping up and down on a fucking pogo stick in the middle of a celebration. I mean, that just destroyed the whole season. If you didn't know, we were cursed from that point on. But now let's get to the trades. I mean, getting Acuna's brother, absolutely phenomenal steal. I mean,
yeah, great move.
We bought him. We didn't trade for him. We paid for him. We gave up $32 million. People don't want to. Oh,
well, that was what, the Verlander deal, right?
That was the, Scherzer
deal, yeah.
What we got? We got this kid. Hold on 1 second. I have this up. I want to make sure I get their names right. The Mets. They got an outfielder from the University of Tennessee, Drew Gilbert. in the deal today for Verlander, and they got the number four prospect. They got the Astros number one and number four outfield prospects. Mm. The number four kid is, they're saying, 20 to 25 home run guy, hit in the middle of the order, five through seven type hitter. 25 home runs is nothing to laugh at with their projection.
No, that's not. No, it's really good.
But this kid, Drew Gilbert, they're saying is a 30 to 35 home run guy, five tools. Reminds a lot of people of Josh Hamilton. So that's a lot. That's a lofty comparison.
Yeah, that's
let's
a
hope
big
that he
comparison.
Doesn't get a tattoo and become a drug addict.
Yeah, Josh, I hear you on that.
Josh Hamilton was one of my favorite players of all time. You know the story about him was he got hurt and he was clean as can be. The guy didn't drink, didn't do nothing.
Yeah,
he went
very
for tattoos.
Clean.
And the tattoo artist said to him, here, take this. It'll hurt less while I tattoo you because he's getting a big piece. And he gave him perks.
Oh, no.
And that's how he became a drug addict. I read his book. It's insane. He from getting tattooed, he became a drug addict. I mean, that's kind of scary. I mean, I got tattoos all over me. I never took a pill in my life. But this kid, Gilbert, they got exceptional arm. He's an A arm. He's got A-plus speed. He's an A-ranked defensive outfielder, and he's an A-contact hitter with 35 home run power. For a 40-year-old pitcher, that's going nowhere.
Yeah.
They got a 16-year-old shortstop. out of Venezuela, you can't really judge a kid. He just turned 17. He played the whole season over there as a 16-year-old. The catching prospect they got for Roberts is immediately in their top five. So they've restocked their entire farm club. And I'm hoping that this team has some patience. It doesn't turn around in the offseason and take all 20 of these guys and try to trade for Otani or something like that where they give up everybody.
But, you know, it's funny you mention Otani. Because I got this feeling if the Angels make the playoffs this year, which I hope they do, he stays in Los Angeles.
He's not going anywhere.
He'll take a short-term deal, and he stays in Los Angeles with the Angels. And they'll give him like a 3 to 5 year deal because that's how many years left he has at doing both positions. And then they'll re-sign him again to be a DH. Like, that was a smart move by the Angels not to trade him because they're right in the mix. And without him,
They added to the team.
Yeah. And he's one of the best players in the league right now. You can do it both ways. The guy threw 111 one-hit shutout and then had two home runs in one game last week.
Right. And he doesn't want to leave California.
No.
He's not going to the Dodgers.
No.
The only place I could see him going would be New York. It's either New York or L.A. because of the Japanese communities on both sides, and he doesn't want to be on the East Coast.
So he's gonna stay with the Angels.
I think he stays with the Angels also. I don't see him going anywhere.
I don't see him going anywhere because I think this team, they're right there.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, do you think in the offseason the Yankees move Stanton?
They better move Stanton. They need to move Stanton, to be honest. I think they should move him. Will they? You know, it all depends on who the general manager is, too. It's Brian Cashman, probably going to run it back. But if it's not, they got to move Stanton because they gave up a good second baseman for Stanton when they made that trade. And he hasn't really done much with the Yankees.
Who'd they give up? I'm sorry. I forgot.
I don't know what off that. Let me just look it up real quick.
I know what you're saying.
Like, was it a trade that the team needed to make?
Astros just threw a no-hitter tonight.
Again.
Farmer Valdez just threw a no-hitter for the Astros.
Starlin Castro.
Starlin Castro.
Yeah. And Castro was hitting well for the Yankees, well in the lineup. And he was a good second baseman for that team. But again, like the Mets, the Yankees really haven't addressed issues at shortstop, in the outfield, pitching. They think the home run's going to solve everything. But as they saw when they run into the Astros, or teams in the playoffs, and their home run goes cold, they just can't win games.
They can't win a game. And the garbage can. Bang, bang, bang. All right.
Yeah.
Let's get to hockey, Jimmy. Let's go. We got a bunch of holes. You know, we hit another one on the head with the
Tarasenko.
The Tarasenko. And I figured it out today. It would be under $1.5 million in cap space if you take them anytime within a month of the deadline. At the deadline, it's $1 million in cap space needed. This move hurts nobody with Ottawa. They're not in it. They deal him off, and they get picked.
Well, but he also has to waive a no-trade clause.
Yeah, because
they put that in the contract.
Back to the Rangers for $1 million. He's coming.
Oh, yeah, absolutely he's coming. But I, from his comments today, I think he's, you know, unless they're out of it, he sees Ottawa as a team on the rise and he wants to be there and he hopes they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that I'll be honest with you. I'm on record saying this. I do not think the Rangers are a cup contender this year.
No, I agree with you on that. More and more I look at it, I don't think they're a cup contender either.
I don't think they're making the playoffs. I told you this. I don't think they're making the playoffs.
I can't disagree right now.
I'll be honest with you. I have no idea why I've been kicking my ass myself all week long trying to figure out why the F did they sign Quick. Basically, Louis Domingue is the same thing right now. Young
right.
Would have been less of a cap hit. They would have saved cap space. And you're going to play Shesterkin in 40, 50, 60 games, probably closer to 55 to 60. So,
but what if he gets hurt? But what if he gets hurt?
Well, then he's out. Spicy pork.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the thing with me. Like, Tarasenko to Ottawa is a great move because they get goal scoring. The guy could still put up 30. He's going to be in the top six. He vastly improves that power play. They have the goaltender. That division is really wide open if you look at it. But you know, Boston's no more Patrice Bergeron. And we'll get to their signings in a little bit. And congrats to Bergeron, a great career.
Yes,
but
absolutely.
Buffalo's on the rise. Detroit's on the rise. They get the Brinket. They're going to be
bad. Buffalo makes the playoffs this year. I'm telling you. That's
Tampa, Toronto. Like, I mean, look, Ottawa has a chance. And again, those three teams that are bunched together with the Buffaloes and the Detroits and the Ottawas, if they get off the good starts, look out. And not to mention, you know, the Panthers, hey, you know, they got injuries to deal with. If they can't get off to a slow start like they did last year, or else they're not gonna. The lock's not gonna be there like they were last year. They had a lot of luck to get in. I don't see that happening.
Pittsburgh,
but I love the
Rangers,
Tarasenko
and
move.
Islanders missed the playoffs.
I can see it. Absolutely, 100% can see it.
Buffalo makes the playoffs this year. That's my sleeper pick to have a very good season, not just a playoff season, a very good season.
I have Buffalo and Ottawa for me making playoffs. I just think. Those two teams are ready and primed to make the playoffs this year, the way they improved.
And I got to tell you, I just wish they had a better goalie. But, man, I think Toronto is just primed. I can't believe they're going into the season with the goaltending they have. But I just love the pieces. I love Bertuzzi. I love Reeves. I listen to
me
on the John Scott show just basically saying, hey, if I don't play every day, I don't play every day. But I'm going to kick this team in the ass. I'm going to make them be a team. I know what it takes to win. And we're going to make this a group instead of individuals. And I just love this. Like, I love
great attitude.
Great attitude. Listen, anybody, as long as anybody but New Jersey wins the Cup and the Islanders, I'm okay. Philadelphia don't make the playoffs either. That's one I forgot too.
Well, yeah, Philly ain't making the playoffs, though.
The old Patrick division doesn't make the playoffs.
Outside of the Devils.
Yeah. Well, the Devils at one time weren't in the Patrick. They weren't around. But yeah, the modern day Patrick division, the Devils would be in the playoffs.
Yes.
You mentioned Boston. Go into the Bruins a little bit.
Yeah, so Boston, obviously, Patrice Bergeron retired, you know, called it a career 19 seasons, and now they're missing a number one center. It'll be Zacha, and it'll be Charlie Coyle down the middle 1-2, but they had their interesting offseason. They had some arbitration hearings, some rulings come down. They avoided one with Trent Frederick. He gets a nice 2-year deal.
He's a tough kid, Frederick.
He's a great kid. He's a great player. He said, you know, when I met him a couple of years ago, interviewed him, he said he wanted to play in the NHL. He had the ability to play in the NHL. He's shown it. Nice breakout year. Nice pay raise for him. Just a little over $2 million, $2.1 million AAV. I think around $2.3 million they settled right before the arbitration hearing. No harm, no foul on a 2-year bridge deal. And then Jeremy Swayman, the Bruins had the option to take 2 years. They only took 1 year. He was awarded $3.475 million AAV contract. So that gives the Bruins some cap room. But if you look at the numbers over the last couple of days with goaltending, you mentioned the Leafs goaltending. Well, Ilya Samsonov was awarded a $3.55 million contract 1 year. Filip Gustavsson just re-signed with the Wild yesterday, $3.75 million AAV over 3 years, which turns into $11 million. And Swayman's right below Samsonov. So Samsonov set the market for both of those guys to get some nice raises this year. And the Bruins, look, yes, you still have Marchand. Yes, you still have Pasternak. But their centers are different, and I think they're going to make a move. For either Elias Lindholm or Mark Scheifele. I really do. I think they're going to address that.
Do you think Scheifele to Boston? That's a Jimmy E3.
I think so. I think they're gonna try hard to upgrade their center position if they can. I mean, again, it all comes down to cap space. Again, does Scheifele want to leave? I don't know if they really want to start with Zaka and Coyle down the middle 1-2.
Right. Jimmy, tell me what the hell. I don't even know who this guy is, and he's a Ranger. Who is this guy that went to arbitration with the Rangers and never played an NHL game and won his settlement? So he gets $100,000 to play in Hartford, $750,000 if he ever makes the NHL.
What, Scanlon, right, was his name?
Yeah, who the hell is this guy?
I think he's one of their prospects. He gets a nice, you know, little bump. He goes to arbitration. And this wasn't, you know, you thought maybe, you know, we'd hear her on Lafreniere, but no, we get a settlement.
We were going to wait a second on that one because I'm going to be honest with you. I think they're trying to lowball him under $2 million a year.
I think so too.
I think, and they're leaving themselves wide open for an offer sheet on him. Yeah, mm-hmm. You got to understand something, Jimmy. I'm not critical of the kid anymore. I really sat back and thought real hard about, listen, he's only 21. He's been in the league for 3 years. It wasn't fair to him. He should have been in the AHL with COVID. But shit, you haven't signed him. And yeah. we're now a month away from camp, or a little bit more, or a little bit less, either way, to camp. And he doesn't have a contract. And he can sign anywhere. All they have to do is say, we'll give you $3 million a season. The Rangers can't match.
No. No, and it's very strange that he's not signed, and I don't understand why they haven't offered him a contract. I know that they're not trying to deal him, but I agree with you. I think they should be lowballing because at $2.5 million, what you said and reported, that's a nice deal at 2 years, right?
Absolutely. And here's what scares me. Goof to saying all of these people, but all of these fringe NHL guys that we put into the cap for $750,000, we didn't need them.
No.
We have like 11 defensemen now vying for the sixth defenseman spot, and Zach Jones has no options left to go to Hartford without having to clear waivers.
Which is not good.
He's ultra-talented. He just hasn't made the jump because it hasn't been the right setting for him. The Rangers, again, this is what I'm going to say, and people are going to not like what I have to say. The Rangers fucked themselves with Keandre Miller. Keandre Miller was their trip in the first round to trade back into the first round this year, get another pick somewhere. I think they could have moved him to the top 15 if they would have got rid of Keandre Miller. He's never going to pan out as a defensive defenseman. He's big. He put up 30-something points last year. God bless him. He had a good offensive season. He's the worst defenseman in the NHL in his own zone. People don't want to admit that. He's the least physical, 6'6". Again, I had a Stanley Cup winning general manager tell me they're in a lot of trouble with him because he doesn't play physical and he's going to get exposed. Why not just play Zach Jones then? Zach Jones is as good offensively as he is, and I'll tell you what, I think he's better in his own zone.
I think he's better in his own zone,
too. And he got him for $750,000.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cheaper deal. I know everybody has high praise for Miller, but again, he hasn't really reached his potential like Lafreniere either. And maybe this is Miller's ceiling. This is what he is. But again, he got exposed so badly against the Devils in that seven-game series. The Devils' speed just outworked them. And look,
physicaled them, Jimmy. Let's not sugarcoat it.
Yeah, he's did.
He's a fucking pussy in his own zone. Plain and simple. He doesn't.
Yeah, they beat him up.
There was a situation 2 years ago on Long Island where one of the Rangers, Strome, got cheap shotted bad.
Yeah.
Miller was within 3 feet of the person who hit him. Lafreniere was 15 feet away. Lafreniere threw his gloves off and skated in and got into his first NHL fight. Miller, go back and watch the replay. Miller turns and looks at the referee and starts pointing like this. That's not an NHL player. That's not what I want to go to war with. I'm not going to win a cup with a 6'6" pussy who's not going to stand up for his teammates. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not. No, exactly. And they got exposed. And look, Lafreniere, yeah. He lost time development-wise because of COVID, and that's no fault of his own. And maybe this is the year we finally see everything click. And you hope it is because, like you said, you brought all these fringe NHL players in and you brought these veterans in. But again, you have to see what your young guys can do with that position too. Lafreniere, Kako, you know, it's not Hedo. Just about those Hedo. Like, these guys have to take the next step.
You also have Will Cooley, and you have Ottoman, whatever you say.
Hoffman.
You got Hoffman. These banging on the NHL door. Will Cooley came up last year and did not look out of place.
No.
And he's a third-line, second-line fringe guy who needs a spot on this team. But we're going to have somebody, you know, blocking his path that's a $750,000 14th year NHLer because Laviolette likes him and he played for him 10 years ago in Hartford? Come on, man.
Yeah, you can't do that. Like, you have to see – like, 3 years ago, the Rangers were the youngest team in the league. Now they're one of the oldest teams in the league, age-wise. In 3 years. Like, and you haven't seen guys take the next step, unlike what you see across the river and other places, where the teams draft these players, these high prospects, and they put – and this is my one criticism of the NHL and a lot of head coaches, is I understand you need to earn your time, but you also have to put these guys in a position to succeed in the right spot where you drafted them. A guy like Alexis Lafreniere should not be playing third-line minutes. He should be on the second line and on a second power play.
He should be on the first line, to be honest with you. And here's another thing that bothers me. Every prospect every prospect they have is a left winger. Somebody's got to shift over and start trying to learn the right side.
Yeah. It's – I don't know, man. It's a tough situation for to be in the with the Rangers this year, and I kind of starting to agree with you, man, that this team may not be able to make the playoffs, especially in that division, the way teams like Carolina and New Jersey are still there where they are. You know, Washington, you got Columbus is better. It's not going to be easy for them.
I'm telling you, they're not making the playoffs, people. I was the first one to say it, and I'll stand by it the whole season. I hope I eat my words, but the New York Rangers will not be in the top eight in their conference, and it's not going to happen.
It's going to be very, very tough, especially the other side. Again, Detroit, Buffalo, you know, all those teams are getting better. Ottawa's better. Not good. Not good.
Who's your top three in the division right now?
In the Metro?
Yeah.
Carolina, New Jersey. I mean, the problem is are the Rangers better than Washington? Yes. Are the Rangers better than the Islanders? Yes. Are they better than Pittsburgh? That's debatable. Yes.
I think they are. Only because of goaltending.
Right. They're better than Philadelphia. Are they better than Columbus?
It depends how the chips fall.
Right. So there's a possibility that they can or they may be the last team in if the Atlantic gets five teams. There's a possibility.
But it's not where you want to be.
No, it's not where you want to be. No, exactly. You want to have a locked spot. You want to be a contender.
They end up playing New Jersey again in the first round and eating another bullet. It's not good.
No, it's not good. But look, you know, there's – I mean, he's still signed. I saw Ryan McLeod and the Edmonton Oilers just settled before their arbitration hearing, a $2 million deal. I mean, the Oilers still haven't re-signed Evan Bouchard. That's another guy that's still out there. Matt Dumba's still out there.
My boy's still a free agent. I forget damn it. It was just on the tip of my tongue, and I forgot his name. He's an Indian player. He had his name on his jersey written in his tribal lettering.
Oh, Ethan Bear.
Ethan Bear. I would love to see a team pick this kid up. He's a personal favorite of mine. I love him. He's another proven winner that just hasn't been signed because of this cap situation.
This cap situation is hurting everybody, and you're going to see guys like maybe Dumba signs. And maybe he's one of those guys. It's crazy to think, but we're getting into that territory now that we've hit August. These guys are going to start getting PTOs. A guy like Thomas Tatar, who would have thought he'd get a PTO? Ethan Bear.
Tatar on a PTO. I can't believe it.
But we're getting into that territory because these guys aren't signed yet.
Well, it goes point. You know, thank you for getting me the job, but it goes to my article I wrote on fullpresshockey.com. Check it out, Ricky Itazu, my second ever published article, edited by Jim Berenger. Thank God he made it make sense. But we were talking there, and it's a conversation you and I had at the draft about these sign and trade possibilities where players are going to just end up somewhere, and a team is like, again, it comes down to Chicago, Anaheim, Nashville, all of these teams with the cap space. They can get a wealth of riches at the deadline by just signing somebody like a Tatar or a Bear. Everybody wants a sixth defenseman to come NHL playoff time.
Mm-hmm.
6'8", 7 defenseman. but they can't sign him right now.
Nope.
And this is where these teams could swoop in, sign a nice, reasonable, cap-friendly deal. Be at, you know, Philadelphia is primed to do this. I'm surprised the Flyers haven't just gone, okay, you sign with us, and you're gone by the 30th game of the year.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a situation where we never thought this would happen in the NHL, but there's just no money. There's no money.
Guys can't find money. There's no money out there. There's just every dollar. There's nothing. The Devils just re-signed Kevin Ball, a part of the Taylor Hall trade. He's like $1.05 million.
The Mets traded more money in one trade than some NHL teams have cap.
That's ridiculous. It's crazy.
Think about that for a minute. He traded $39 million with Scherzer.
Well, what was it? I think I saw last year the Coyotes were operating where half their team, they had contracts on LTIR that. And their base salary was less than.
Last season the first time in 10 years that David Clarkson wasn't getting paid by somebody?
Yeah. Yeah.
He hasn't played in 10 years.
I know.
You know who's going to manipulate the cap really hard this year? It's going to be Toronto with the long-term LI injuries.
Well, they started it. Look, you talk about their goalie situation. Rovada Island just got a new member. And if for those on this show who don't understand, I've mentioned this other places that I do my 1,000 shows a day, or where, you know, we joke about it. But
the number behind your head, that 432730, that's how many shows a day you do.
Yeah, exactly. But Stefan Robida was a defenseman for the Toronto Maple Leafs when Lou Lamoriello was up there, and basically he was entering, like, he had a couple years left on his deal. He might have even had 1 year left on his deal. But he was at a term that, you know, would have hurt the Maple Leafs if they bought him out. So basically, he got paid to go away, and he was put on LTIR, and he failed a physical, and he was gone the rest of the year. Joffrey Lupul's been there. Several other players have gone. Well, Matt Murray's the newest member of Rovada Island, yep. Where they're basically just like, dude, just go away. We don't want to buy you out. We'll just put your $6 million, $8 million on LTIR along with Muzzin. And you can go away now.
Just say your ankle hurts and you're good.
Yeah, just say it, you're gone. Now, kidding aside, I hope he does get better. I know he's been dealing with concussions and stuff like that. Hopefully he's able to come back.
Concussions are the one thing that I don't make fun of, having had as many as I've had in my life. But it is funny. I mean, Vegas put a couple years ago, Stone – And all these guys that just went on in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Tampa, $18 million over the cap, baby.
Over the cap. You know, there's a guy here in Nashville named Jared Stillman. He's on the ESPN affiliate here. And he just every day talks about the NFL cap. And his opening line is, well, if they want to get him on the Titans, they have to squeeze them under the cap. Now, we all know the cap is fake. It doesn't really exist. I can go to Jimmy Behringer tonight and say, Jimmy B., do me a favor, give me back $35 million like Aaron Rodgers just did. I'll give it back to you in 2 years under the table as a signing bonus, and you get your money back. That's how that works. And you know, it's just funny because, honestly, there's so many ways around the cap. It's just – it's like if the Rangers wanted to turn around tomorrow and say – I'm just trying to think of somebody on their roster who's been injured. But anyway,
Goudreau's been injured a lot.
I'm sorry, who?
Goudreau's been injured a lot.
Yeah, you could just turn around and say, you know, his shoulder flared up and he's out for 6 months. And now all of a sudden they have plenty of cap space.
Right.
It's just a weird situation.
For all those fans that complain that, you know, about this team or that team going over the cap come the playoffs, your team can do it too. Your just general manager doesn't do it. And as Kelly McCrimmon said, he's in the winning business and they find every which way. Now, before we get out of here.
No, we have a couple things to talk about. Hold on.
All right.
I'm going to issue a challenge to you.
Okay.
We're going to put together a fantasy football league for the show. So we're going to have a Yahoo Fantasy Football League. Anybody interested in playing. But I'm going to make a challenge to you.
Okay.
I see your wall behind you every week. You see my wall. I have plenty of space over there on that side right there.
Yeah.
Fantasy football. Whoever finishes higher. So if I finish higher, you got to get a New York Ranger jersey with my last name and my number on it and hang it right there between your 3 and your 7.
You're going to make me a banner?
You're going to get a jersey, a Ranger jersey, and it's going to hang right where your Danico and your Niedermeyer banners hang. And if I lose,
yeah,
I got to get a Jimmy B Devil jersey.
Damn right you
and
do.
Display it right there in the corner of my house for the rest of the hockey season.
I like that. That's a good deal.
Is that a good bet?
I like that.
All right,
I like
so we that. Just got to fill out 10 more teams in the fantasy. So the first 10 people to say or comment on the site or one of our Twitters that they're in, we could do a money league. We could do a fun league. I could put up a prize, whatever. But the head-to-head battle is me against Jimmy.
Whoever finishes higher.
Whoever wins higher in the league, the other guy has to wear his opposing jersey on his wall.
That's a fair deal. I got to find wall space. Not a lot of wall space.
No, you can take that toilet paper down that's hanging up behind you.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Nope.
The other thing I wanted to get to, Jimmy, I found out today, which is a little bit of a weird situation. Upper Deck Hockey is not putting Connor Bedard in the first series that comes out in 2 weeks, August. Young Guns Series 1 NHL.
Why?
He's not coming out until March of next year.
What?
In Series 2. And they're already saying his base card will have a base price, just base. And there's going to be 5 to 7 variants of the base, plus Young Guns variants, plus signed cards. He's going to go anywhere between $500 and $5,000 cards on his release. Highest rookie cards coming out in almost 30 years in NHL.
Since probably Gretzky's rookie card.
Well, even Gretzky wasn't that much money, but until he got famous. I can't believe, to me, they're dropping the ball not having him in the first
place. Bedard should be, I think, like when McDavid entered the league, Upper Deck threw out his cards early.
I found the other day I have a McDavid rookie jersey swatch card. Oh, and I remember paying $40 for it, and I looked it up today. It's like $600, and I was like, oh, my God.
That's a good card.
Cards have taken a major turn. But, yeah, as much as I'm not a fan of the kid, Upper Deck was all over the draft. You know, you saw the tents ups outside. They were giving away the 8x10s of him, and Upper Deck exclusive was the first deal he announced when he was drafted. But I'm really shocked they're not having him in Series 1. I know we don't really talk a lot of cards, but
considering the season's, you know, October, he's going to play the first night against Crosby. That's a missed marketing step. But again, that's a series of missed marketing steps by the National Hockey League.
Over or under 40 goals?
Under.
Under 40.
Under 40.
Over or under 90 points?
Under.
You're going under. I'm going
under. Under 90. I'm going under 90 for Bedard. Over.
I love how they talked about Chicago bringing Corey Perry to be an enforcer for him.
Wait, they got Foligno there too.
Yeah, they did get Foligno. But, you know, who's afraid of Corey Perry? I mean, I'm not saying
he's just a rat out there.
He's a guy that you win Stanley Cups with. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I mean, the dude went to Dallas Stanley Cup Final, Montreal Stanley Cup Final, Tampa Stanley Cup Final. I mean,
he's a good teammate. But why is Tatar not there?
I mean, that's a guy that is a perfect example. I think you put Tatar's name in your article. Where that's a guy that you sign and you trade him at the deadline.
Yeah.
Chicago. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. If he signs like in Chicago, don't be surprised he's in New Jersey at the deadline.
Absolutely. So who do you see Bedard playing with?
Well, Taylor Hall, I think he's going to play with.
That's right. They traded for Taylor Hall. You're right. Okay.
So I think Bedard and Hall will be a 1-2 together.
Who do you put Perry to play shotgun with that?
I don't think Perry can keep up with that.
He can't. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to. Foligno's not going to be able to keep up.
No, Foligno's not going to keep up with that.
Who's their natural team over there? I got to look that up real fast.
I got to look over. I got to look at their roster for a minute. I mean, there's not. I mean, not a lot of guys that are, you know, not a lot of good players there. I mean, Foligno, you have Hall. Look, Bedard's there, but again, it's still early. What can we see from them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jimmy, give me a last topic of the night, and we can wrap it up and get ready for Thursday's SummerSlam preview.
All right, so last topic of the night. I want to stay in the National Hockey League for a minute. I was looking at betting odds. I don't understand why the Vegas Golden Knights are listed where they are. considering all this team does is make history, how is a team like Colorado, Carolina, New Jersey, Toronto, teams like that ahead of the Vegas Golden Knights in betting odds? Because let me tell you something. Vegas, yes, they lost Riley Smith. Yes, I know Mark Stone is not 100%. Can you count on Aiden Hill doing what he did again? Yeah, why not? That defense didn't change. And you have Bruce Cassidy as a head coach. Jack Eichel and that top line's together. I don't see why this team can't repeat.
It's just the nature of the beast. I don't think people in Vegas think that they'll catch lightning in a bottle twice with the goaltending and whatever.
But behind Colorado,
it's
I think that's just on namesake alone with what they have there. Because let me tell you something, Ryan Johansson has to put up numbers like he did when he was that one year in Nashville. You're telling me Georgiev? I'm taking Aiden Hill right now.
Come on, Gorgie sucks.
Yeah, I mean,
let me give you something real fast. United States Women's World Cup team, could it happen to a better bunch of bitches that think that who the fuck they are? I'll tell you, I used to watch every single minute of women's soccer for the United States. I absolutely loved the Mia Hamms. I loved the Chris, what was her name? Brittany Chastain. I loved
Brandi Chastain, yeah.
Brittany Chastain, Hope Solo. Never missed a game. Never 4 years ago, never missed a minute. I don't like this team.
Nobody likes this team.
They're a bunch of pompous bitches. I heard somebody on ESPN the other day, and I forget the woman's name, but she was one of the women in that era I was talking about, saying that they're the most entitled group that they've ever seen, that they were on the field the other night dancing and joking around instead of practicing in the pregame, and they end up getting tied by a team. The odds were, I hit this bet, 450-1 for a draw the other night against Portugal. 750-1 Portugal to win that game, and we tied. The Netherlands is winning 7-0. We're tying a team that shouldn't even be on the field with us.
There's a disconnect. You know why? And I know a lot of people may not like what I'm about to say, but you need to leave your politics out of your sports.
I agree. They're unlikable.
Go work on your craft. You want to be a winner, but the problem is they've won so much. What's to do next? You're seeing a similar pattern what you saw with the USSR, Soviet Union when they won all those gold medals. I do not think the United States women's team is winning this World Cup. I just don't see it.
I don't. Listen, they're barely going to make the medal round. They're barely getting in. And I don't think they're even close to winning. I think the Netherlands wins it, to be honest with you.
I think the Netherlands wins it. I thought the Netherlands should have beat the women's team the other night.
I think so, too.
They were the better team. Look, there's a lot of things in sports where, you know, there's people that you like, you don't like, that the Notre Dames, the Dukes, you know, you go to individual sports.
Wait, do you not like Notre Dame? I'm asking, do you not like Notre Dame?
No, I'll watch Notre Dame games.
I hate Notre Dame.
I'm not a big fan of Notre Dame at all.
Okay, we agree on first thing ever.
Yeah, ever. I am not a big Notre Dame fan. No, I do not like Notre Dame. I root against Notre Dame. I'm not a fan.
Here's to that.
I like their coach. But again, there are things.
Jimmy, fuck Rudy. Okay, the movie was fake.
Of course it was. Talk to Steve Young or not Joe Montana. Everybody knows it was fake. Come on.
Fuck Rudy.
But look, you know, you go to certain sports. There's, like I said, Notre Dame, Duke, Yankees. Vegas is becoming that team. But then in individual sports, Serena was like that, you know, when she played. You love them or you hate them. And to me, I think a lot of people are getting turned off of what they stand for, you know, disrespecting the flag, all this kind of stuff, you know, and that upsets a lot of people, especially in a patriotic, you know, state that we're in. And, you know, you want to be proud for teams you root for, but they're just not one of those teams.
They're not. And you know what's funny, too, is they're the first team in years that if there was a photo leak, I wouldn't even want to see it.
No.
Like, I thoroughly enjoyed Mia Ham Sandwich's photo leak.
You had Brandi Chastain taking off her shirt when they won. I mean,
listen, let me tell you something. I could tell you right now where I was sitting. I was in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey, in my basement, watching that game And when she scored and ripped that shirt off, I jumped off my couch. I was so pumped up, patriotically pumped up for our country over a women's soccer game, where now I'm literally rooting to watch them lose.
Yeah.
And you said the thing best, like, I don't care who you are. Listen, you're allowed to have an opinion. This is why many great Americans died in war, to right. give us the opinion to have an opinion. That's fine. Don't cross the line with sports. I hate that.
Yeah.
If a New York Ranger came out tomorrow and started talking politics, I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't watch the game.
No.
It's annoying.
It is annoying. Like, that's why, you know, that's why Gary Bettman tries to say, you know, just do it on your own time.
That's what happened with the pride jerseys this year. There was yeah. so much controversy. Now there's no – now we lost military pride. Now we lost military night jerseys. We lost fire and whatever jerseys. And, again, pride should have had a jersey. There's no reason they shouldn't have had one. It's just a bunch of people have to run their mouths and ruin it for everybody. It's that old saying, you know, nobody can just sit back and be happy for everybody. Somebody
no, exactly.
has something to say. And that's why we're just better off when it comes to sports. Don't say anything.
Don't say nothing. Just shut up, play the game, and do what you got to do.
What did we learn tonight, Jimmy?
What did we learn tonight?
What are you taking away from this show?
Just play the game, baby.
Just play the game, baby, is yours. I'm going to just say, fuck Rudy. It was fake. Thursday night, Jimmy, you wrap it up. I'm ready for SummerSlam, and I have a lot to say about SummerSlam and the course of the WWE for the next 1 year.
Look. Check it out. We'll have this episode dropping tomorrow on iTunes and Spotify. If you missed it tonight, the audio will be up with the intros. But as Bret Hart would say, the SummerSlam is this weekend. We got our preview of the SummerSlam on Thursday. I can't wait to talk about it. I can't wait to talk all things wrestling on Thursday. SummerSlam, I'm going to drop a little AEW in there because I feel that Collision is doing really good on Saturday nights. This Saturday, probably not so much, but because of pay-per-view night. But still, a lot of good things coming. I think professional wrestling is in a good state, and that's where I'll leave it for now.
God bless Vince McMahon. I know he's got a lot of bad stuff going on in his life. A lot of people don't like Vince, but he just went through a very serious procedure, and we're not even talking about wrestling if this man wasn't around. So, Vince,
no.
please get well.
Him, Vince, Crockett, all those guys. Doing what they're doing, Bischoff, all those guys. Look, we're not – professional wrestling isn't what it is today without guys like that. I hope, Vince, you get better. But I'm glad Triple H is running the show. But, guys, thank you for tuning in, watching us. Don't forget comments. Thursday, a lot of big things wrestling-wise. Thursday night, check us out. All in One Sports, Jimmy B and Ricky O. Guys, have a good week. Be back Thursday.